Good morning.
Wow.
I can't remember the last, I think, no, it was just before Eva came. That was the last time I was up here, wasn't it? Yeah, it feels like a lifetime ago, but here we are. Paul is away, summer school, enjoying himself, I hope. Well, I got a text last night saying, I'm too old for this. I'm like, enjoy it while you can. You know, you're getting a free evenings here. You have no babies to look after, no daughter to look after. So enjoy it while you can. But, yeah, he's having a good time. So just a few announcements, as John's not here as well. So, hey, you got me. First, tea and coffee after the meeting this morning. And depending on the weather, we'll have the open air at 12:05. So please, let's all go and be the church. You know, it's not just the band going, but we're all going to be the church out there and sharing fellowship in that way. Office of Food Bank is closed on Monday, but it's open on Wednesday and Friday. Is Sally Craft on this Saturday? Yes, it's on this Saturday. Sunday the 13th of August, Paul will be back and he'll be leading worship with a theme of new wine. Ooh, so we'll have to wait and see what that's all about. Saturday 9th of September 2023 is Ride and Stride, and Paul wants to thank everyone that has put a name down, which means that he doesn't have to be here all day. So thank you very much for putting your name down and willing to help in that way. Sunday the 10th of September at 3:30 is Praise on the Prom. So church is together, but it's led by this call with the participation of the band and the songsters. We went last year, we had a lovely time. So please, let's all go and just share in fellowship again. Hopefully, the weather will be much better this year compared to last year. So let's keep that in mind. Right, here we go. Let's start our worship. The band introduced the song to us already. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the words the hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the body thunder, the power of the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God, today. Let us stand together and worship our Lord.
Thank you.
We're going to spend some time in prayer soon, but before we do, we'll sing our next song. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pouring out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Let's sing together.
We're going to have a time of prayer now. I think later Lisette is going to be talking to us about Jeremiah. So I have used Jeremiah as a basis for these prayers. Jeremiah wasn't popular. he was thrown into prison when he told the people what God had given him to say. But while he was in prison, God spoke to Jeremiah, and he said this. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard of the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What an invitation to prayer that is. First of all, God says that we should call to him. And throughout the Bible, there are scriptures that remind us to call to him. But I particularly love this one in Psalm 107. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. God wants us to talk to him. He wants to hear what we think. He wants to hear what we feel. He wants us to praise him and give thanks. So let's just have a time now where we speak to God. We tell him what's on our heart, what's on our mind, what we're feeling, what we want to thank him for. If anyone wants to do that out loud, then you're very welcome. But if not, we'll just do that in the quiet of our hearts. Lord, I read something this week about how a bow that's been overstretched can't fire an arrow. And I don't know about everybody else, but Lord, I feel that it's been a tough few weeks and I feel overstretched. So as we're here now, Lord, I call to you. I pray that you would help me to find rest in you and to recover. After telling Jeremiah to call to him, God said, I will answer you. I don't know about you, but sometimes this is hard to believe. Sometimes we worry, I think, that we might ask for something that God doesn't want to give. Or we might feel that we want to ask for something, but we fear that it won't be what God wants. But this promise is that God will answer. We don't always understand the answer. We don't always get the answer at the time that we want. But God's word promises that he does answer. In Hebrews chapter 4 it says, let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So let's pray now for things that we want answers for. Even though we may not know what the answer is, even though we may feel worried about asking God for that answer, let's just spend some time again asking him to answer us. Lord, I pray that all those things that we've just lifted to you, all those questions, all those worries, all those concerns that we want answers for, I thank you that you tell us in your word that you will answer. Lastly, the Lord tells Jeremiah, I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. One of the things I love about God is that I don't understand him, that there's more to him than I'll ever know or understand. And I find that freeing. I find it freeing to think that I don't have to understand my faith. I don't have to understand his ways. We see our little bit of the picture, but God sees absolutely everything, and he knows absolutely everything. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says this. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So let's spend some time now asking God to speak to us, to tell us great and unsearchable things that we do not know, to tell us things about him that we perhaps will never understand. So let's spend some time listening. Lord, thank you for what you said to Jeremiah. Thank you that we can call to you. Thank you that we can do that knowing that you will answer us. And thank you that though we may not see the answers or understand the answers, you do, because you know everything and you see everything. Amen. The songsters are going to sing now, and I looked up a little bit about the song that we're going to sing. And I could send us down a little trivia wormhole, but I'm not going to. But if any of you find the piece of trivia about the man that wrote this song, I'll give you a brownie point. So the song we're going to sing was written in the 1870s by Francis Rowley. And he was an ordained pastor by the time he was 24. And he says that this song came to him without any particular effort on my part. So this song came to him inspired by his desire to praise his Redeemer. And his motto was, "Sing of your Redeemer and be kind to his creatures." And some of the words in this song are, "I was lost, but Jesus found me. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Days of darkness still come over me, but the Saviour still is with me." So we're going to sing of these wonderful promises. Right, I've been asked to do an all-age little bit, and I've tried to learn a magic trick. So I haven't practised it as much as I would have done if I was in Vegas, but I have practised it a bit. So Alicia's going to hold the microphone because I need both hands. We'll come over here. I like to sit far enough away that they can't really see what I'm doing in case I mess it up. So sit just down here. Do you want to sit just down there? So, children, can you think of something that you might have to make a plan for? Can you think of anything that you have to make a plan for? Did you have a plan for your summer holidays? Did you think maybe your summer holidays might mean that you could play on the beach in the sunshine? Yes? What did you think?
I thought to play on the beach.
Did you think maybe your summer holidays meant you could play in your garden in the sunshine? Yeah, with your toys. James is nodding. I don't know about all of you, but we make plans, don't we? And sometimes they just don't go how we think. So the plans just go a bit wrong. The plans don't go how we think they're going to go. The plans just, it's like God just rips the plans up and says, no, Felixstowe, you are not going to have sunny summer holidays. We don't know why, do we? But God's got a plan. Maybe there's a farmer somewhere that needed a lot of rain. We don't know. But what if God's plan meant that we could take lots of little bits that look like they're not going to work, and they do work? I'm here all week. Are you impressed? Did that look like magic? And what's different about God's plan than the one I ripped up? It's bigger, isn't it? My plan was just half this size. God's plan is a bigger plan. And it's not ripped. And it's not sellotaped. Felicity's now my biggest fan. I love it. So are you going to try and remember this week that sometimes when our plans get ripped up and they don't go how they should, God has got a bigger plan and a better plan. I don't know whether it involves sunshine. I can't promise you that. But I can promise you that he's got a big and better plan. Now, I think you guys are going to go out to Sunday school. Can I say a little prayer for you before you go? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these children. We thank you that they didn't work out how I did my magic trick. And thank you that they can trust in you and your plans, and that we can trust them to you and your plans. So we pray now for them. We pray that they have a wonderful time and that they enjoy learning more about you. Amen.
Hold on. Before you go, we've got a song to sing that we need them with the help. Yeah. We sang it last week, and you guys loved it. So Julia and I, we thought, let's do it again. But we thought, because Paul is not here, this is a good time for us to practice, so that when he comes back, we've got the move, especially the last one. I can't do it because I've got my heels and skirt, but you have to sort of jump and do that. Is that what?
That one.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. So we're going to practice so that when Paul comes back and he puts it on, he'll be so impressed, wouldn't he? So let's stand and do it together. Well, I'm going to take my shoes off.
I want to dance.
sit down, take your breath, and you can go to Sunday school. Wow. But you know what? I miss being here and seeing all your faces and just doing that. It's lovely. It's brilliant. A bit of exercise on a Sunday morning. That's all you need to start the week. Well, thank you for that. While the band takes a breath before they bring their ministry to us, and they're going to be playing People of Power. So, yeah, but we're going to have Bible reading now. Thank you.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 4 through to 14. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben, for that. Thank you, Ben, for that. There is power, wonder-working power. That's the one, isn't it, in the Persian? Because I was thinking in French. I'm like, what is it in English? What is it in English? Then he got me. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And also the first one was, I'm building a people of power. Build your church, Lord. Make us strong. Join our hearts, Lord, for your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son. Thank you for your ministry to us. And now we're going to have a next song. We're going to sing, Lord, I come before your throne of grace. And we're going to take up the offering as we do that. I was quite tempted to give a lively, beat upbeat song so we can do an African thing where you can all come forward and do the offering. I'm like, I'll take it slow. We'll just start with the singing and see what happens next time I come back. We might jazz it up a little bit. But for now, we'll just we'll sing together and we'll take up the offering. Father God, this morning we come before you and we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness towards us. And Lord, this morning as we give in the offering, Lord, we just ask that you might bless this person that has given. We ask that this money might be able to be used here in Philistine and to help build your kingdom here. So we thank you for this morning. And Lord, as we prepare to hear what you got to say to us, Lord, we just ask that you might open our ears and our heart that we might receive from you. Thank you for all that you do. Amen. Amen. I don't remember if a few months ago, I think it was Pentecost Sunday, Paul gave us all a sticky note and to write little words of encouragement or Bible passage. You remember that? And he asked us to stick it at the back of the wall. Do you remember that? Do you remember what you wrote? Yeah. Some people wrote the Bible passage, Jeremiah 29, verses 11. There's quite a few as we're going through the list of things that was being written, and it's quite a few. So while Paul was talking about the few Sundays and the one that he was going to be away, it's like, why don't you do that one because you Africans love your Old Testament, apparently. So we do, because I don't know why, but we do. We tend to talk about that a lot. So I'm like, yeah, I don't remember the last time I read Jeremiah or even the last time I read the entire chapter 29. Anyone does? Do you remember the last time you read the book of Jeremiah? The last time you read the entire chapter 29? No. But do you remember the last time you read verses 11, though, don't you? Yeah, yeah. Because we quite read that quite often, don't we? We see it everywhere. I remember when I went into training college to become a minister, one of the few cards that I received was Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I remember that quite well. It came on quite a few times. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. And it seems like it's always about when every time someone's about to go start something new, new job or got a new life, people tend to give that passage, don't we, such of encouragement. And I thought, well, let me try and read about the entire chapter just to try to figure out why is God saying, I know the plans I have for you. And who is he saying it to help me to understand, to get to grips with this promise that he's talking about. And as I was reading it, I kind of, it brought back a lot of things for me. For one, God wasn't speaking to one person, but he was speaking to a group of people, wasn't it? It wasn't a promise to one person, it was a promise that he's making to a group of people. He was making a promise to people who have been taken away from their home by their own making, to be honest. They have done a lot of things, haven't they, this group of people of Israel. They have not listened to God. So many times he's warned them and told them things and they would disobey him. And at some point, God had enough and he let Babylon take them and take them away from their place. They know really well the country, a place where they worship God. And they were taken away and they were in a foreign country. A place where things were different, different culture, different way of doing things, different food, different things. And that spoke to me. 25 years ago this summer, my family and I arrived in the UK. And I remember when I started school. I started at year 9. I think it was just a term before the Christmas, another one just before Christmas term. It was just that term. And my mum and dad wanted my siblings and I to go to the same school. I got two younger brothers and two younger sisters. So it was me and my two brothers, and they wanted us to go to the same school. But obviously, coming halfway through the year, it was a bit difficult. So they managed to get me to a school. And I went there for 2 weeks. And it was the most confusing time of my life. I didn't speak English. I didn't know what was going on. I had no friends. And by the end of the 2 weeks, I realized I was wrong. Because I went into classes, and then on the second week, I'm like, I don't recognize any of these people. They were not there the week before. That's because the school had two timetables, week one and week two. I had no idea. I just went to week one for the last 2 weeks. And that's why it was so confusing. I had no one to tell me, actually, this is week two, so you need to be looking at timetable week two. So I went to all the wrong classes, and it was very confused. I'm like, what's going on? I don't understand what's going on. It's only when I came to the end of it, when my mum and dad actually managed to get a school for me and my sister to go together, that I realized actually I've been going to the wrong classes because they have two timetables. The other confusing thing about, for me, it was baked beans. In Africa, we eat beans. We eat beans with rice and chicken at lunch and dinner time. We do not have beans for breakfast. I remember Tessa thinking, Mom, what's this? Is that so disgusting? What's this? What's going on? I was not familiar with baked beans. But now, if you give me a full English breakfast, you don't put beans in there, I will not speak to you. But it's just this kind of stuff that makes you all confusing and all feeling, what's going on? Where am I? Have you ever felt that being somewhere where you just felt like a stranger? You felt like you don't belong. There was nothing familiar about the surroundings. There was nothing that you could hold on to. There's nothing there. These people, that's where they were. They were in a place where there was nothing familiar to them. There was no place like that. They'd never been here before. It's so strange to them. They've been taken from their homes, from the place to worship God and spend time with God, and find themselves in a strange land. And to be honest, 25 years later on, I still feel like a stranger. I struggle with English. Speaking, writing, everything, you name it. English for me is the hardest language ever. It's like, who invented English? I still struggle with that. And I still struggle with the culture, because when Paul and I started dating, just to let you know, in Africa, we don't have dating or girlfriends or boyfriends. You're either single or married. There's not in between. We don't do the going out with him or no. You're either single or married. And an African guy understands that. So if I don't take him to mom and dad's house, he understands the reason why I can't take him. But with Paul, well, I'm sorry, Paul, you can't really come and see my mom and dad, you know. It's an African thing. He doesn't get that. But my mom, somehow, in her wisdom, she managed to work things out so that Paul was able to come to our house. And she didn't say boyfriend, she just said, oh, it's Lizette's friend. You know, it's just to smooth things out with my dad. So I still was trying to balance that. Even now, as a family, I still have to balance my culture with a British culture. I still have to get a good British life, even though I am British. And just to let you know, I was British before I married Paul, right? I did not marry him to get a British passport. Just putting out there. I had it before we got together. So, yeah. So, even though I am British, but I still feel like a foreigner in a foreign country. And these people were there, and God is telling them, marry, have life, have kids, enjoy life, grow, increase in numbers. He wasn't telling this to people who were preparing themselves for a new life and start looking all happy, getting all excited about a new life, a new adventure. No, he was telling this to people who were in an uncomfortable situation, where life was a bit tough for them, things were different for them, and he's telling them, go on, live life. And when I was reading that, I reminded me of right where in the beginning, when God created the world, he created a beautiful world, and he wanted them to live happily, didn't he? And he told Abraham to increase, I will increase your numbers. He told Noah, increase. And his son Jesus to die on the cross. And Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life, a life to the fullest. So when God is talking about, I have a plan for you, a plan to prosper you, the plan has always been about having a life to the fullest, a life to abundance. It's us that sometimes, through our own disobedience and through our own way of living life, that sometimes we fall out of God's plan. We find ourselves in a place where we're not meant to be. And yet, despite that, God is saying, I have a plan for you. And God is saying, I want you to have a good life. Have it, and I will come and rescue you after 70 years. But in the meantime, just enjoy life. And while you enjoy life, don't forget to pray for that place that you're in. While you're having a good time, don't forget to pray for them. Because while you're praying for them, if they are successful, if that place is successful, you also will be. You will get life. You will enjoy life if that place that you're in is also as happy as you are. And that got me as well, because I asked myself the question, how many times do I pray for this country that has accepted me and my family? And yet, to be honest, sometimes it's hard to be here, especially since Brexit, COVID, George Floyd. Sometimes it's hard. People think that people get out the boat and instantly go to a new house, money. No. My family and I have suffered to be as settled as we're now. It's not as easy as it's pictured on the news. It doesn't work like that. But I still ask myself the question, do I pray, despite the little things that comes up now and then, do I pray for this country that I've called home now? A country that I've married into, that I've have two girls that I'm raising. How often do I spend time to pray for this country? To pray for this government? To pray for these people who actually have accepted me in? Those who have called me friends? Those who have loved me? And this morning, I want each and every single one of us to think about that. This might be home for you. This is where you're born and bred. For some of you, it's not. Felixstowe is not home. Because Paul and I were quite astonished by how many people were not born from Felixstowe. They just came in. But you fit in so well. Felixstowe has welcomed you. This is your home. You have settled in. You're living your life here. How often do you take the time to pray for this place that you call home? How often do you pray for this call here? Quite a few people has put these promises in the card that says, Lord says, I have a plan for you. And we know it's not just about one person, but it's a group of people. Lord has a plan for this church here. How often do we take the time to pray for this particular church? How often do we pray that God's will be done? That people will get to know God in Felixstowe. People will get to enjoy what you enjoy having that relationship with God. The love that He gives you. The joy, the peace, the comfort that He gives you. How often do you pray that through this church, people in Felixstowe will also be touched? They will also want to be part of this body of Christ. So this morning, I want to encourage you to take time to do that. To pray for this place. Pray for this church. Pray for each and every single one of us. We all got work to do. It's not just up to Paul and I. But each and every single one of us has got work to do. And when I was sharing this with my family, because obviously it brought a lot of memories back for me, and I'm a refugee, I can't deny that. My mum and dad flew from my country to come here, so it's who I am. Not ashamed of that. And I was talking to mum and dad about this passage and just thanking her, thanking my mum and dad for just having the courage to leave home with young kids. Especially my mum, because my dad left ahead and my mum had me and my brothers, and she just went through some different things. At one point we were going to lose my brother, at some point we had nowhere to sleep. So I took the time to thank her for doing that. And we were talking about this Bible passage, and my sister-in-law, she's from Ukraine, so she obviously, the war has happened there, so she kind of got connected with this as well. And she was saying the one thing, this passage that actually has taught her more, is about God Himself. It's how faithful God has been with the children of Israel. No matter what has happened, no matter the fact that they failed Him, He's always been faithful. His promise is always the same. That has not changed. We changed. We change all the time. We disappoint God all the time. We fail all the time. Yet God's promise to us is always the same. His plan to us remains the same. He doesn't want to hurt us. Sometimes we do need a little bit of, you know, to be just a little knock on the head sometimes. And I remember my dad. My dad, he's a typical African parent. He's not afraid to get his bell out and hate us. And growing up now, when I think of all the times that he's done that, I know he's done it out of love. There are things that he told me I should not do, but I thought I knew best, so I'll do it. There are places I told me not to go, I knew best, but I went. And when he found out, obviously I got in trouble, so he disciplined me. But he did it out of love. His love never changed for me. It was the same then, it's the same today, it was the same when I was being a little naughty girl. I wasn't that bad, to be honest, just thrown out there. I like to think I'm quite a good African daughter most of the time. But yeah, his love has never changed. And the plan that he had for me when I was a baby, that he wanted me to be and who he wanted me to be, has always been the same. All he wanted was the best for me. And that's why God wants the best of each and every single one of us. And he's never changed. So when I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about a song that we could sing just as a time to just spend reflecting or praying or just doing whatever you need to do at this time, I was thinking about, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father." I just wanted to sing about great faithfulness. It says, "Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have ever needed, thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." God's faithfulness never change. His love never change. It stays the same. His plans for each and every single one of us is the same. His plan for this school is the same. We just need to listen to him and let him guide us. So we're going to sing this song now. And if you want us to just time to reflect and pray and do whatever you need to do, please do. Feel free to do what you need to do, but let us sing together.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, this morning we want to thank you. Thank you that you never change and you always stay the same. We thank you for your love towards us. We thank you that you know each and every single one of us, but you know us as a core as well, Lord. We thank you that you have a plan for this place, a plan for this church. And Lord, we just ask that you might help us to remember, Lord Jesus, that wherever we might find ourselves, whatever situation we might be in, that plan has never changed. It's always the same. You want us to have life and to live it fully, Lord Jesus. So Lord, we ask that as we enter into a new week, Lord, whether we're going to be doing either go to work or spend time with our children as they're on holiday, whatever we're doing, Lord Jesus, just enjoying life, Lord, just be with us. Let us be the people that you call us to be, people that go out there and just shine your love and your joy out to everyone that we meet. So Lord, I just ask that you might bless each single person that's here. And Lord, this morning we think of all those who couldn't be here for whatever reason. We just ask that you might be with them. You might watch and you might protect them. Those who are enjoying the holidays, that you might be with them. Those who are working, Father, just guide them. And we pray for Paul and all the staff at summer school, Lord Jesus, and all the students who arrived yesterday, Lord Jesus, ask that you might be with them, Lord, as they spend the time together. Lord, speak to them. Lord, guide them and be with them, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for Jesus. We pray in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we've come to the end of the meeting, and we'll sing our closing song. I haven't sung this song in a very long time, so the good thing about leading a meeting is you can pick your songs, can't you? And I haven't sung this in a very long time, and this one is Standing on the Promises of Christ, My King. And it reminds me a bit of Africa, because my mom sings it in my home language, so it reminds me a bit of her and back home. So let us stand together as we sing this song together.
So here's a benediction. When we leave this building and step outside, may we live church and bring community with us. When we leave each other and step into our homes, may we live God's promises and bring encouragement and hope. When we leave this time of worship and step into our busy lives, may we live God's covenant, knowing we are God's people, bound with those who went before us and with those who are yet to come. Amen.